You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.
Hello. I'm Hugh Fort.
I'm Rachel Nemeth.
And I'm Tom Canning. And welcome to episode 112, or 112, I don't know why I said it like that, of the Real Reading Podcast. You can like us on Twitter at Real Reading Pod, and you can search out Real Reading Podcast Group to join us on Facebook. Well, good to be back. And it's
welcome
good to see you
back.
Both. Good to see you both. Two whole podcasts without me. How was it, Rach?
I was going to say held the fort together, but that's just about you. So I think we did all right.
Muddled
through.
Bit nerve-wracking
the first week, but a bit more confident last week. So that was, yeah, it was fine. Glad to have you back, though. Takes the pressure off me a bit.
back in the hot seat. We've got lots going on today, lots of bits and pieces. But Hugh, I just wanted to pull you up on one thing that you did mention on one of the podcasts. And in fact, in a story that you wrote as well, you suggested that my poor new baby daughter, who is now 4 weeks and a couple of days old, you suggested that her first day out ever was to the Medway precinct.
He did.
Which I can see where you got that, because from the information I sent you, I can see that why you may have assumed that I had taken my daughter with me. However, it was simply the case that it was my first day out since she was born. I'd say day out, first trip out. And in actual fact, her first official day out anywhere was to Coronation Square, which I'd argue is superior to the Medway precinct.
Not to double barreled then.
No, she has been twice now, though.
Yeah, obviously, I would expect no less, and I would have thought that would have been her first port of call, to be honest, with you as her pops. So.
Yeah, well, precisely.
Yes, it is. I apologise for that, Tom, but you know what they say about facts and good stories.
Don't let them get in the way.
Don't let them get in the way.
Oh no! Obviously, if there was a massive problem with it, I would have raised it with you beforehand. Yeah. It doesn't take anything away from the fact that I did find the Medway precinct such a depressing place to go, and I just felt like there's an awful lot of potential there for a nice community hub. But good grief! I think aside from the cafe that's there and the Boots, you know, my word. Anyway, we'll just move on quickly from that. We are starting something new today as well. We, as well as all the latest headlines, we've got Indie Corner, where we are going to give a local business 2 minutes or so to advertise themselves to you, our dear listener. And you'll see who's up first now. Welcome to the first instalment of Indie Corner on the Real Reading Podcast. I have got Dave Moore with me. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm okay. Are you okay?
Yeah, not so bad. You are, well, as most of our regular listeners will know, you are one half of Heavy Pop and also the man behind the Indie Shopper website, promoting businesses within sort of Reading and the surrounding area. So I thought, as the first person to get on to talk about, for Indie Corner, I thought, who better than the man that set up Indie Shopper? So, Dave, you've got 2 minutes just to talk about what's going on.
2 minutes. Okay. Well, I guess start with Heavy Pop quickly first. So, Heavy Pop, if those of you organise gigs in Reading and run a couple of festivals, I listen to Festival at the Abbey, obviously, no music's going on. So, we've started to launch a couple of schemes to help sort of keep us afloat, really. One's called Friends of Benefits, which is a membership scheme. We're also looking to do some merch as well. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And then in terms of the Indie Shopper, it's an online free directory, essentially, like I said, for Reading businesses and kind of surrounding area. And we launched it July, the end of July, I think it was. And we're nearly at 100 businesses now, which is pretty good. So that's coming along nicely. So yeah, very different from my normal day job, as it were.
So obviously, the festivals are kind of off now, and people can get involved and support Heavy Pop to ensure that those festivals do come back next year.
Yeah, because we haven't benefited any from any free money, basically, like some other organisations. And obviously, it's really hard to plan for stuff when everything keeps getting moved, and obviously, nobody knows what's going on. So it's this weird limbo state where you're sort of planning. Everyone's planning for shows and events. They don't really know. This says can really, you know, with any confidence is going to happen. But it's like, well, you know, you've got to try and be positive. But yeah, obviously, you know, we've lost 100% of our income. So, and the way things are looking, obviously, with this other lockdown, is like, well, it might be maybe a year, you know, or longer, potentially, before we can go back to sort of shows in a normal capacity, because social distance events don't really work in terms of a model that's going to be beneficial to everyone going forward. And you know, obviously it's not really, you know, I get to doing gigs for people to be 2 meters apart from another, so hopefully we can get back to that sooner rather than later. But yeah, like, we just thought, okay, well, you know, can't do that, so we'll just try and do something else that can, you know, generate a bit of money, hopefully give something back to people who do support us, rather than doing like a straight up crowdfunder sort of scheme. And we did a soft launch, I suppose, with our main list into last week. And it's gone down really well, which is really nice, quite heartwarming. And then, yeah, you know, all being well, we'll get it out this week to everyone else and see what happens.
Great stuff. Thanks, Dave. Just quickly, we have gone a little bit over, but I just wanted to Indie Shopper. Obviously, you said you're almost up to 100 businesses on there. Has everything been well received, yeah, I presume?
Yeah. So the Indie Shoppers, myself and Rich Lips, it has been well received, actually. I mean, it's kind of more like a hobby project rather than, you know, but it's just good to kind of put something together that kind of shows people there is an alternative to, you know, some of the big brands on the high street. And I know some people, actually, funny enough, I know some businesses that we've listed who have gone and found other businesses on there and gone to shop with them and stuff. So it's kind of doing what we want in terms of creating like a bit of a community vibe. And, you know, if nothing else, we just want to give some of these businesses a bit of a platform, and being surrounded by other businesses that are in the same, you know, the same sort of ethos, essentially. So yeah, we've got a good little mix of stuff on there now, actually. Like, and that's the other thing, we have to keep inventing or like creating sort of new character sections for such businesses, you know, because we've got some illustrators on there now, and you've got like vehicle hire, and you've got food, and you've got drink, and you know, so we're getting a nice broad mix of people getting in touch now to be on the site.
Fantastic. Well, it looks fantastic. So I'd urge anybody to just go and have a look at the indieshopper.co.uk. Now, Dave, I said to you just before we started, we're going to get you to recommend a business to appear on the Indie Corner next week.
Yeah, so I like to put forward the Grumpy Goat.
Okay. Great. That's great. We'll get in touch with the Grumpy Goat, and we'll get them on next week. So the first person on our Indie Corner was Dave Maul of several different organisations. He's part of Heavy Pop, which runs a number of events in town, including Are You Listening Festival and Down the Abbey. But he's also the man behind Indie Shopper, which highlights local Reading-based and Berkshire-based businesses. So we will see who's up next week. I do have some feedback if you'd like to hear it. Well, not necessarily feedback, but more of a story if you'd like to hear it. I'm not sure we've covered this. I'm not sure if we've done this before. I feel like I know a little. I felt like when I was sent it, I know it, but I'm not sure I do. So I'll put it to you. But this is from Paul Etherington, a regular contributor, as far as contributors to our show go. He wrote to me, he said, not sure if it's true, but someone I was at Reading Uni with said her dad worked on Apex Plaza development. Apparently, it wasn't supposed to be pink, but a sort of grey marble, and the wrong colour got ordered. It sounds daft, but as I understand it, the cladding has a serial number rather than description, so nobody realised until it was too late. Maybe an urban myth, but it's a good story, which I think you'll agree agree with. Just before I ask for your opinions on that and whether you've heard that before, he sent a second piece in. He also says, if you've ever been underneath, the parking at Apex Plaza is something to behold. Each parking space is a different size or shape with some amazing columns and hazards. One of my colleagues drove in his wife's car one day, parked in his usual space, and took out a load of air conditioning ducting because there were tubes and units randomly attached to all the walls, and her car was a different shape to his and was overhung by the air conditioning. Which is two amazing bits of information about Apex Plaza. Have we done something on Apex Plaza before? I can't remember. In the, you know, there's been 112 of
them. Did it come up here in your
It came up in the ice source conversation, but it wasn't in the article. I think didn't Paul bring it up?
I think he did.
Yeah, the car park sounds interesting. Might be worth looking at.
Going and having a look.
The pink thing is that's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah. Surely, I mean, I know it's a bit quirky, but surely that's more interesting than just the grey.
Yeah. Does that make it? And I just
talk about it if it was just grey.
On the eyesore discussion, did you decide it was an eyesore, Apex Plaza, or is it all right?
I don't think I said much because I quite like it.
I like it.
Yeah, it hasn't ever struck me. As a particular eyesore, hence why it didn't go into the article, I must admit. But I think it's quite unique, isn't it? It's in its pinkiness. It's much nicer than the Medway Precinct or the
all the old Reading like Post building that you threw in there, much to my disgust.
I know.
Where legends were born, that place.
Yeah.
Right. We'd love to hear if anybody's heard that urban myth about Apex Plaza. We'd love to know if that's true or not. We'll hopefully try and do a little bit of research ourselves. But if you'd like to get in touch, if you've got any urban myths or anything like that, here is Jeremy with how you can get in touch with us.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @realreadingpod, and join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thank you, Jeremy. It is time for that part of the show where we talk about a few of the latest headlines. I've been off, so I've not really had a chance to have a massive look at what's going on. But we've got a couple of things in the mix, including the reason why we've had Thames Water tankers rumbling through Caversham. This is Gosbrook Road, isn't it? The Gosbrook Road appears to be the centre of the universe in many respects. But Hugh, what's been going on here?
This, Rach, have you been reading about this on?
I have been reading on
Facebook.
I've also experienced it. So let's see what you've got to say first, and then.
You know what it is?
I do now because I read your article. I had a good guess at what it was, but I didn't know the root cause of it.
Well, this operation is a fairly major operation, isn't it? It's been taking place for days. It's now finished, but it was because. It's actually a little bit of a battle between utility companies, and because Scottish and Southern Electricity Networks was doing some work, and they somehow managed to puncture a sewage pipe during this work, which has led to this enormous operation which has had to be carried out to ensure that sewage doesn't flood the area. Nobody wants that.
No,
it's been a bad enough year. So I think a few people have been sort of puzzled by what was happening. This constant stream of lorries going backwards and forwards. They're basically filling up with the water and taking it to the Reading sewage works. As a kind of way to stop it just going everywhere. And it started on the 28th, which was last Wednesday, and finished yesterday, so they've had nearly a week of it. It has now finished, and the Thames Water basically said we've had to do it, and we've had to do it this way, otherwise it will be much worse than what's been happening in terms of flooding and stuff like that. So that's what it is, and I think the disruption is that these lorries are very big and very noisy and travelling backwards and forwards pretty much 24 hours a day. So So that's what it is. And
which they had to do, to be fair, to stop the sewage flooding all the houses, which would have been revolting.
Yeah, it would have been much worse, wouldn't it?
Which I understand the noise pollution if you live on Gosbrook Road must have been really annoying, but to have your property filled with sewage would be much worse.
Yeah. Yes, that leads to months and months and months and months and months of problems.
Yes.
So
I presume
it was probably the lesser of two evils, certainly the lesser of two evils.
I presume they let people know this was why that was happening, or have they only just found out now?
Some people didn't seem to know about it. The guy I spoke to didn't have any idea what was happening, but then there were other people I saw talking on Facebook saying that Thames Water had put something through their door saying that this was going to happen. Okay. So, kind of, I think generally most people probably did know, but certainly it was worth doing, looking at and explaining what was happening.
I think the guy in your article lived on Gosbrook Road, though, didn't he? Rather than in the Amersham Road estate. And I think that's where they put things through the door, on the actual estate where the works were taking place, rather than on the journey to.
I guess you can't do the entire route, can you? But
that's true. Yeah.
My experience of this kind of thing, we've got the I think it's the Basingstoke line out the back of my house in Southcote, and I think it's the Basingstoke one. I may well have got that wrong, but sometimes they do work on the railway at night, and you know, all this kind of thing. And I remember when they were putting the electric pylons in, there was a lot of thumping while they were bashing those down. And it just so happened that was on the eve of the Reading Half Marathon, and you could hear these pipes just echoing, just being slammed into the ground. So no one was getting any sleep that night. It was absolutely mental. Rach, just to quickly finish that one off, what was your experience of that? I know obviously you're in the area.
I mean, I live in the area anyway, but I did have to go down the Amersham Road on Monday, and I, to be honest, I'd forgotten that there was even a problem going on. Thankfully, I walked, because had I taken the car, that would have been a huge mistake, because it was carnage. They had lots of traffic controls in place. There was about five or six tankers parked down the road pumping what they needed to pump, and people getting quite frustrated, because it was about 9 in the morning, so getting quite frustrated not being able to get out of the road quickly, and there's buses that go down there, and that was all like getting stuck, and it was a bit crazy. It was a bit of a shock, actually, because I'd seen people talking about it on the Facebook pages and things, and thought, well, it can't be that bad. And then I walked down and went, oh no, okay, that's really quite bad. So I bet they are very relieved that it's now over. And then there was the added kind of complication that yesterday, I think it was, Gosbrook Road was supposed to close.
Tuesday.
Yesterday means nothing on a pre-recorded podcast, does it? On Tuesday, Gosbrook Road was supposed to close to start resurfacing works during sort of 9:30 till 3:30 every day. And so people were like, you can't actually do that when you've got these tankers consistently going backwards and forwards along that road. It would have been ridiculous. So I believe, although when I walked to school Tuesday morning, the trucks were all sat waiting up. That was about 8:30 in the morning. They were sat waiting to start, but apparently it all got delayed.
Oh, right.
Because of the Thames Water thing. So how long for? I'm not sure.
Lovely bit of joined up thinking by the looks of things then. That's
yes. When it takes the public to go, hey guys, have a think about it. Why don't you wait a few days until you've finished doing that? Oh yeah, great. But it all got sorted.
Excellent. Okay, Hugh, the next one that you pulled out was, what time does lockdown start and what are the rules? I literally have no idea. So does tell anyone... me, educate me in about six minutes.
So as the new father of a young child, you're almost certainly going to be awake when the lockdown starts at 1 minute past midnight tonight. 1 minute past midnight tomorrow morning.
So hang on, in terms of a Friday podcast, that would be Thursday morning.
Thursday morning, yeah. Thursday 1 minute past midnight on Thursday morning, so Wednesday night into Thursday. That is the lockdown. Lockdown 2. Sounds like a bad Netflix film, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's got Liam Neeson in it, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's like all Netflix films. So, yes, Thursday, November the 5th, for 4 weeks until December the 2nd. The government this morning has, Dominic Raab has been talking on Wednesday morning saying that this lockdown will definitely end on December the 2nd, and then they will look at the tier system again to see where everyone is. So everywhere in Berkshire except for Slough is tier 1, Slough is tier 2. And so I would guess the likely, actually I'm not going to make any predictions, but that's what it was. Cases were rising across the county, apart from in Wokingham, where they last figures I saw had shown quite a sharp drop.
Okay.
Wokingham obviously being places like Early, Woodley, on the outskirts of Reading, as well as the town itself. So lots of the rules are that you had to stay at home as much as you can. You're allowed to go to work. You're allowed to take your kids to school or to childcare. You can have as much exercise as you like, which is important, just to go for a walk and get out and keep yourself relatively sane, or do your cycling or your running or whatever you fancy. Obviously, you're allowed to leave for medical reasons. Shopping, food shopping, looking after more vulnerable people, and you can still visit members of your support bubble as well. So, but you're not allowed to meet indoors or in private gardens. But you can meet in public places, such as the guidance says, parks, beaches. So you can go to the beach with one other person. The countryside, public gardens, allotments, and playgrounds. So. So social interaction isn't completely banned, but they're not allowed in your house, and you're not allowed to, you can only see one person at one time outside, essentially. Mm-hmm. Pub, sad for you, Tom, pubs, bars, restaurants all have to close. But the good news is that as of yesterday, pubs can now do takeaway beer.
Yes,
Which they weren't allowed to do, and this prompted a fairly massive outcry from the industry.
Yes,
because they were allowed to do it in the first lockdown.
Yeah, quite right too, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, I think it's a very valuable lifeline to our brewers, friends in the brewing industry.
It's the only way there'll be any left by the time all this is over.
So you can exercise outside, but not inside. Gyms, swimming pools will close, as well as things like cinemas and beauty salons and things like that. Churches, places of worship in general, not just churches, but the whole lot will close except for funerals, and people will be allowed to go inside them to broadcast services, but no, the congregation won't be allowed in. And you can go in and pray yourself if nothing's happening, that sort of thing. Building work, construction sites, they'll stay open, so you can expect to see all the work going around Reading Town Centre continuing. Weddings have been stopped unless there's exceptional circumstances, and funerals are only limited to 30 people. And you're not allowed to stay overnight anywhere or go on holiday, but you are allowed to travel abroad for work. And you can use public transport if you need to, but generally the advice is not to travel unless you absolutely have to.
Yeah.
Again, you can use it to go to work. So that's a quick rundown of the various rules that are in place. And hopefully it will work to the point where the numbers are much lower when we come out and we won't have to have too much more of this. Not going to go away, but hopefully everything will become much more under control, and the NHS will be able to function as well as it can.
Yeah. Well, having used the NHS in the last month, they seemed to be coping. They were doing the best they could, but everybody did look a bit tired. That's just a general. Every day, I have no idea whether they're always looking a bit tired, but they certainly looked like they had their work cut out for them, and there were various wards closed and stuff like that at the Royal Barks. So, fingers crossed, everything stays going in a positive, because they were just starting to open things up again. Yeah. When we were in there, so fingers crossed. Rach, we've just got a couple of seconds if you had anything to add to that one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the rules are a little bit grayer than they were last time. It was just don't go anywhere, don't do anything.
Yeah.
My gray areas are largely child related, as you'd imagine.
Yeah.
So I'm very thankful that Zach can still go to school.
Yeah.
However, what seems a bit weird to me is that he could go to school, be with his friends all day, interacting with them, but I couldn't then go to the park with one of his friends and the other child's mother, because I think it's only children under five who don't count in the numbers. So there's just, and childcare, which I assume includes family, if necessary, that mum and dad could look after him if it was required, but I can't see them, so I have to just
you can
stand
take,
at the end of the driveway and shoot him up.
You can take him to their house, and he can go in with them to be looked after, but you can't go in with him, I think, possibly be the scenario.
Which is a bit odd, because the mingling is still happening, isn't it? I've mingled with him, he's then mingling with them, and then back the other way. Well, we might as well... five of us just be in a room. But do you know what, I am so desperate for this to just all be better that I'll just do what's required. And
I think I tend to agree with you there, Rach. Just do,
because if it doesn't come out on the 2nd of December, Rich is obviously works in retail, so we're sort of quite worried that if we don't come out of it at the beginning of December, the impact on Christmas and retail revenues will be catastrophic. So I'm praying that everybody sticks to the rules and that we can get through this all together.
Indeed. Thanks, Rach. I just want to move on just to our last story, which, Hugh, I'm sorry I'm getting you to go through all of these. Normally I would have a bit more information on these. But, this last one was just about the charity that wants to cook 250 meals per day for the needy in Reading. But there is a catch. Can you just tell us about it?
Yes, this is the charity called Food for All. It's a kind of semi-national charity, I think, but it's looking to expand in Reading, and it's it says it's able to make 250 meals a day for the hungry and the needy in Reading and beyond. The major issue it has is it doesn't yet have a base in Reading and is looking for one. So if anyone has anywhere they could offer or would, then get in touch with Food for All. But they cook meals and deliver them to Reading Council, and the council deliver it.
Okay.
Not necessarily Reading Council, to the council. So I think it might be just in the council in the areas where they're already running.
Yeah.
It is Reading Borough Council. I do apologise. They have been working Reading Council already. They said they've done 18,000 meals during the lockdown.
Wow.
With Reading Borough Council delivered all around, but they're looking for a base. And the slight catch, again, is it's all vegetarian, which is not a bad thing.
No.
But you won't get any meat if you in your meal, which is it's an interesting concept. It's all vegetarian, in that you don't tend to get too many people who don't eat vegetables, whereas you do get people who don't eat meat. So I guess it's the easier way of doing things is to provide meat free rather than to try and cater for the odd, you know, the odd vegetarian here and there, it's much easier to produce mass vegetarian meals rather than
more cost effective.
Yeah, well. I'd say so as well. Yes, veg is generally a bit cheaper, isn't it, than meat? So yeah, they're looking for a base in Reading. So
surely, did the council not have, with everything that has to be closed now for the next month, does the council not have any premises like children's centres or anything that would have a kitchen facility they could use?
Quite possibly. I don't know what their specific needs are. You would imagine that could be the case. I don't know. Going back to your initial point, you know, you often hear people say, why can't they just, and those things always tend to be far more complicated than you would think. So yeah, why can't they just go into a kitchen at a building the council's not using? It's only a month for a start, and there's probably lots of risk assessments and health and safety stuff you have to do to open a kitchen in these places, and it may not be long enough, you know, all these reasons. I don't know, but, and I don't know if there are talks going on, if they're working with the council. This seems fairly logical that they might work with the council to find some venue to operate out of as well. But that's the that was the story we ran, that they're looking for a base. So we'll keep an eye on the situation and then see where they might rock up in Reading.
There are a number of empty pizza restaurants around St Mary's Butts. I wonder if they could make use of those. Well, I suppose that depends on landlords and all that kind of thing, doesn't it? But there are a number of now vacant premises there, I guess. But hey, you know. Right, shall we move on? We've got a bit of an interview. Coming up. That is it for part one. So in part two, we'll be chatting to the co-owner of Reading's Grumpy Goat, which is making a bit of an ambitious move.
The Big Interview.
I've been looking forward to speaking to Anne-Marie again for quite a while. Anne-Marie Beattie, co-owner of the Grumpy Goat. You guys are doing something mental at the moment. We're in the middle of a pandemic and you're expanding your business. What's going on?
It has been our intention for a while. We've sort of found the right space, our new home, and I think just keep calm and carry on, really. I mean, what else can we do? I mean, I think the pandemic doesn't seem to be going anywhere anytime soon, and we've just got to just get on with our lives and just get on with business, really, I think.
So you obviously let's just talk me through what's happening and what's going on, because obviously the Grumpy Goat, you've been in Harris Arcade off Friar Street for a number of years now, and obviously you're moving into Smelly Alley. So just talk me through what's going
on. Came up this crazy idea, set up a shop called the Grumpy Goat in 2013. That's since December 2013 we've been going. Bought the domain name, and there we go. Been selling craft beer, cheese and spirits for since then. So it feels kind of natural that we're at the stage to be moving and expanding our range, and actually we'll have a small drinking space above, a small bar space, and we'll, give us the capability to do a lot more tasting events, which we have done off-site from when the business opened, really. So yeah, really excited about all that side of the business once things are returning to a little bit more normality. But the main shop, that you just said, we're moving to Smelly Alley, but the main shop will be the frontage. We quite feel quite a lot like a deli. So we will be selling more food products, more fine food products that go with cheeses and go with the beer. And also thinking about having a sort of daily pantry section. So, if you pop in the Grumpy Goat, you can pick up your cheese, pick up your beer, and maybe pick up, sort of a nice, sauce or jam or just those, some of those daily essentials. We already sell butter, and we're going to be selling milk from a local dairy as well, and we already use and sell bread from Bear Bread and Baked. I think just expanding our food range, really. So I think that's quite interesting during these times, because I think, you know, that's one thing that people are always going to need.
Yeah. So no plans to sort of stock toilet roll and other such things?
Not yet, Tom.
That just popped into my head. I've no idea. I'm a bit off my game at the moment. I've been off for a few weeks. So obviously you're moving into what was the Quantum Web Cafe. Obviously it's a little bit of a shame to lose that, but you know, I guess in some ways you've probably got to be a bit careful, but at least it's not not another phone shop.
Yeah, absolutely. And the unit is really lovely. There's a lot of history in Smelly Alley, and I'm just really, you know, the unit is a lovely space, and we're sort of, you know, hoping to sort of bring out some of those, you know, those features in the new refit. It's going to look hopefully super smart. We've got our guys working on it at the moment. At the moment, the floor's going down. The counters have been built. We're having a lovely sort of tiled counter sort of around the fridges. So it's going to have that very deli-esque sort of feel to it as you walk in. Yeah. And actually there's bifold doors right across the front, so in the summer or even during these times, I think it's going to help with, you know, the idea of making sure we've got that ventilation going through the shop. As we, you know, we are allowed to be open during this time, but what it will allow is we'll probably have a couple more customers. At the moment we're one customer at a time in the shop. We're taking, you know, the pandemic very, very seriously, you know, as we should be. And I think it'll just give us that capability to just have a few more customers over the Christmas period. So I think that'll be helpful, and you know, obviously, you know, maintaining our safety and customer safety is paramount to us.
It's obviously, you know, you mentioned the history of Smelly Alley, and arguably Smelly Alley is possibly one of the most famous streets in Reading, purely because it's called Smelly Alley, if nothing else. But it's lost a few of those businesses that kind of made it what it was at the time. Obviously, it's really known as Union Street, but Smelly Alley was the name from the greengrocer, the fishmonger, and the butchers, and obviously it's lost some of those. And I know when we spoke before, you were hoping that you guys turning up there might start to bring some of that sort of that stuff back. Do you think that's a realistic possibility?
I hope so. And I say, like you said, it's got this lovely history. And if you look up and, you know, look at some of the old windows, you can almost imagine what it might have been like during Victorian times. And it's just, I'm really excited to bring that foodie sort of element back to the alley. Obviously, we used to have the grocer, the fishmonger, and the butcher down there. And, you know, maybe it'll give sort of that hope again for the alley to become that sort of foodie sort of vibe. And, you know, as we say, everyone knows the alley. Everyone sort of cuts through, and, you know, hopefully they'll stop by and say hi. I'm actually really looking forward to that, because the football in the arcade is obviously not as much as it is going to be in Smelly Alley, and I'm looking forward to that sort of daily banter with, you know, customers on the street and chatting to people. And I think it's going to be a new part of the job, which will be great.
And I guess just sort of talking about the Grumpy Goat itself, you know, over the last couple of years, you've kind of almost given birth in a way to a couple of other local businesses, which has been absolutely fantastic. Is that something that you were looking to do? Is that something you'd like to do more of? And I refer, of course, to sort of Dolphin Brewery and some of the other things you've sort of helped promote on the way. Is that something that you want to do more of?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's so important to sort of stick together and work together, especially during these times and any time, really. And I think, if there's a way to help another business, you know, get, you know, with a foot up sort of thing. I mean, obviously we've worked with Kat, We Are Friends, closely with her, you know, and a few others at Craft Theory, our festival as well.
Yeah.
It's just, that's really important to me as a business owner. And, you know, we've got to a certain stage, and it's so nice to see other small businesses sort of taking off. It's like, I can just give the example of, you know, sort of Nathan at Bear Bread and Baked, who, we sell is bread, and it's, you know, they're now looking for premises. I might be revealing too much here. but it's great to see Reading sort of taking off, and, you know, like with Blue Collar Market,
yeah,
and, you know, it's just, you know, and the, you know, to name a few other businesses, you know, and Fidget and Bob, and Clay's Hyderabad, you know, it's just amazing to see that independent sort of culture, yeah, coming through. And actually during this time, you know, we've had an indie WhatsApp group, and everyone's been there sort of fully supporting one another. And I just think that, you know, shows the sort of town that we live in, and, you know, the people that want to live here and work together and come together. And I think that's really important.
Do you just sort of, I guess, thinking about that, and obviously there's been quite a lot of businesses have closed during this pandemic. I think, would it be fair to say, thankfully, it's not been a lot of indie businesses have been forced to close. It's been more of the sort of the larger businesses closing their branches. But that means there are a lot of vacant shops and units in town. Do you think that there's a possibility that we could see a boom in independent businesses in Reading after this, as a sort of positive?
That is my hope. I mean, I think rents and business rates are still, you know, there's still a lot to pay there. And I think the problem with Reading, it gets treated a little bit like a mini London, where you're just, yeah, on the edge of London, and it's like, we're not London, we don't have the footfall, yeah, of London. And I think landlords need to be sensible during these times, and, you know, thinking, do they want an empty unit or do they want a full one? And, you know, an empty unit still costs the landlord money to maintain. So I think, you know, hopefully there will be an advantage for independents to maybe get some of the units that were maybe not accessible to them, so the rents were too high. So, but hopefully, you know, yeah, we will see more independents sort of merging out onto the high street.
Yeah. So, just in terms of the new shop, then how far away are we now? Because I think I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago. And how far away are we?
Yeah, I'm hoping around 3 weeks. You know, the thing is with COVID-19, we just really don't know. It could, you know, I've got to bear that at the back of my mind. You know, as much as I'd love it to be done, 3 weeks, I'd love it to be done. If it's open in 4, you know, or 5 even, I'm not going to stress highly, because we are in a very unusual situation. And, you know, we are trying our very best to get it open, yeah, as fast as possible. And it all seems to be going well. But you know, as things, yeah, as we think we know in life, there could be always that spanner in the works that, sets us off.
I'm just curious about how the current sort of, I was gonna say the old shop, but the current shop, how's that work? Is it just sort of a quick on opening, like sort of closing night, opening day? Is it just quickly moving everything across and
I think so. Potentially we might do it over the course of a weekend. We might have a couple of days closed, not sure yet. We have had a lot of people say, oh, I'll help you, I can help you move things. But also, again, I guess we need to think about that differently, because lots of people helping us move, it's not going to be, I guess we can't do that again, with these current times. And we need to be as careful as possible. Yeah. We need to think about things quite differently.
So for a short period, we could have a chain of Grumpy Goats in Reading, do you think?
Oh very minuscule amount of time, maybe a day or two. Yeah. Brilliant.
Anne-Marie, thank you ever so much for talking to me today, and good luck with the opening.
Cheers, Tom.
The big interview.
Okay, that was our interview with Anne-Marie Beattie from the Grumpy Goat. They are making a move down to Smelly Alley. I know you guys spoke about this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. Very exciting. Hopefully, I know their ambition would be to see Smelly Alley become a bit of a venue, a place to go again. And that would be a lovely thing to happen. It's obviously a shame that they're replacing one of the independent shops down there, the Quantum Web Cafe. But I think I read in the story that went up that they may well be looking for a new venue for the Web Cafe. So maybe fingers crossed about that one as well. So we shall see. Shall we move on to this week's random question?
The random question.
Okay, random question this week is, I just threw this one in there, is there a bit of the lockdown you're looking forward to again? And you can say no.
No. I'm honest, although I've said I'm going to stick to the rules, and I will, I am a bit more daunted by this lockdown than the last one. Mm. I don't know whether that's because it's like darker nights, rubbish weather, and the ability to be outside a bit less.
Is it something to do, do you think, with the fact that there is an end date for it, as opposed to the other one, the first one, where it was sort of, oh, it could end at any point? Was that more hope? Or because I'd have thought that knowing it was only going to be 4 weeks, allegedly, would be a good thing, but I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel.
I think what, for me, one thing that's different about this lockdown, which is quite a crucial thing, and it's simply a way of sort of passing time, is that sport is still going through the lockdown. So
yeah,
football. Well, Most sport is still going. So at least on a Saturday, you can watch a football match or a rugby match on the TV, whereas it all stopped before. That, for me, it's a very little thing, but it is November. So I've got great intentions to go out walking a lot and maybe get on my bike and maybe even go, dare I say it, running. Right.
Gosh, steady.
But it is November, and the amount of times you wake up on a November morning and look out the window and it's pulsating with rain, or the wind is blowing the rain sideways, and you think, maybe not today. So that, at least in the first lockdown, the weather was glorious for most of lockdown, wasn't it? Yeah. I remember thinking every Sunday for however long it was that it would be such a lovely day to play cricket on, and we weren't allowed. So there is at least that. So it's not necessarily something I'm looking forward to, but it's a very small thing. My concern is that we've got this deadline and everyone's saying, oh, it's only a month,
Yeah.
And there has to be, certainly a lot of the people I've spoken to have said, well, they said there's a, they said it's going to end on this date, but they've said a lot of things.
Yeah.
And so to have total and utter confidence it will end on that date is difficult. And then if it doesn't end on that date, you're getting very, very close to Christmas when it does end. And the kind of joy of the festive season where it's all hustle and bustle and everyone's getting their stuff done and there's lots of events and things like that and everyone's getting feeling festive and all that sort of stuff could just potentially, it's going to be really different anyway, even if the shops and stuff do all open on December the 2nd, you're not going to get that kind of buzz of Christmas shoppers, I wouldn't have thought, in the towns.
No.
So whether it completely ruins the whole festive season as well, when everyone is generally a bit happier and a bit full of the joys of life and the festive season, that is a big concern. So hopefully it will end when they say it has, and hopefully everyone will do as they're supposed to and the rates start going down. And
well, I think the
the other side of that, Hugh, is that if everybody does adhere to the rules and the numbers go down like significantly enough, and then at the beginning of December, they say, right, great, it's finished. Off you go. Is everybody going to go Christmas shopping? Is everybody going to go to the pub to be festive? Is everyone going to be going out for dinner in big groups? And are we going to undo everything that we've achieved in November?
Mm. Who knows? I think my major concern is that making sure that people do actually do what they're told And I'm not entirely convinced that that's going to happen. But, you know, that's just me. I thought I'd just round this off because we haven't exactly answered the question. Well, I think the answer to the question, is there a bit of lockdown you're looking forward to doing again? No. Nothing. But I wanted to just... Sorry, Hugh, go on. Just before
just
I
Just very quickly. I think shutting everything and very much limiting what people can and can't do because things are being forced to shut is... a way of getting people to obey the rules, in that you can't break the rules because you can't go to the pub and, you know, you can't get drunk with your mates in the pub or anything like that. And so, you know, however people want to frame it with the infringements on their civil liberties and government oppression and whatever, if you shut everything and leave people with very little options to break the rules, then they'll do it much less. And so that is kind of a way of getting these numbers down, almost forcing people into it. So there's, like I say, there's not much scope to break the rules now.
Well, thanks, Hugh. I would tend to agree with you there, and fingers crossed. I wanted to just finish off that because, as I say, obviously the answer to the question is there a bit of lockdown you're looking forward to doing again? The answer is firmly no from the three of us. But the only thing I would say is I am looking forward to recording some lovely podcasts, some lovely positive Reading podcasts, some credible positive Reading podcasts with you guys over the next few weeks. That will be just lovely.
Oh, that will be lovely.
That will be lovely. Also,
as long as we keep it credible.
I'm sure you're looking forward to spending as much time as possible with your daughter as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
In normal times, you'd be in the office every day.
I know.
Travelling. So you make the most of these magical times.
It's not far.
No, you don't. You spend a lot of time around the country, though.
True. This is true. Thanks, guys. In the meantime, if there's anything we've talked about today that you would like to chat to us about, if there's anything you'd like to bring up or flag to us that maybe Hugh's got wrong, here is Jeremy with how you can get in touch with the show.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @realreadingpod. And join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
That's quite enough for this week. We'll be back with plenty more this time next week. We're obviously still looking for people to speak to. We've got loads of people lined up to speak to, and I've got a couple recorded already, which I'm very excited about putting out there now that hopefully we'll be back into the swing of things. If you have a moment, please give us a rating on your podcast app, and if you have time, submit a review. But we'll be back next week for more Readingy podcast goodness.
Bye.
You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.